design, and you are, and I am, radiant by design. But we have to pick it. We can choose our radiance, and that's what this show is all about. I'm Veronica Entwistle. It's my guides and angels. I have just returned from a month on the road, where I went to warm climates from our rather chilly northwest, rainy, absolutely gorgeous green environment.
We're the green people.
I went down to Tucson, and I went over to L.A., and then I went to the Bay Area, and then I went to Grass Valley to see a wonderful auntie. And now I'm home again, Riggedy Jake. And I'm glad to be home, but I really enjoyed my journey, and I enjoyed all of you who came to visit with me in various stations that I arrived in. Oh, wow. And some of the things I want to talk about tonight are, A, anything you want to talk about, because I want you to be calling in and talking about your transformation. Let's also talk about taxes. People are really wound up about taxes these days. Sometimes when you put your money offshore and you only have a few billion, you don't have to pay taxes, right? But I haven't managed that in this lifetime. But I thought about it, I'll tell you what. I bet you have too. Certainly for a lot of us, there is the kind of reality sorting, getting taxes together before, I think it's Monday. Is it Monday, Bob? Yeah. So I guess that you and I know also that we need to manifest our highest prosperity level so that we're putting out what the kind of, I mean, part of me doesn't mind paying taxes at all because we want the roads and we want the services and all of that. And a lot of the countries with the higher standards of living, people pay a fairly reasonable tax, but then it's used for standards of living, isn't it? So, you know, there's something kind of embedded in there about them not being so bad. So let's just hope that we can work it out individually in such a way as to be paying into the stuff, the quality of life that we really want to share with you and I, and with BBS Radio and with Global Radio. So let's talk about prosperity. Now, I mentioned to you on last week's show or the week before, or maybe both shows, that I had heard a fellow named William Henry, and he's in going to do an interview with me fairly soon, but I needed to get home and settle first before I start banging on his phone. And he was telling a lot of stories about how, first of all, he's the one that was showing all the holy pictures, the great art, the great religious art that's been going through the centuries. And he was showing us, he had them all on slides, or he had a number of them on slides, and he would point out how they depicted the journey of the soul and how the soul moves through various levels as it moves out of the body. And it was really, really interesting. He pulled together the religious or spiritual, for example, paintings from all religions, all kinds of religious references, including the Tibetan and the Muslim and the Jewish and the Christian and the Catholic, and stuff about Christ and the resurrection and the crucifixion and people, the various deities in some of the Hindu religions and so on, that are all depicting the movement of all of us moving with the focus on our souls, and how his point was that we're all instructed by these ancient pictures, by these beautiful pieces of art. We're all instructed on how to move on through, on how to die, really, and to be conscious about dying in such a way as you can move on through level after level after level. And I wasn't going to go on and on about it, but I did, so there you have it. So when we talked to William Henry, because he was so interested in the movement of the souls going through and all the different levels, I said, when we do our interview, I want to talk to you about death and the various approaches that you understand about death and how to move past it. And then, of course, I've been talking to Rachel DeSalle about the Tibetan system of Powa and dying and learning to move consciously when you pass, like to gear yourself up energetically and to use energy transmission so that you can pass and move your consciousness way past what they call the bardos. And those are the kind of collected energy pools that are from leftover thoughts and feelings and so on, that you can go in, and I guess as Catholics we would have called it purgatory or limbo or goodness knows what. I'm not here to talk about religion, but I'm saying that there are these arts about dying that I'd like to talk about. So we're going to be talking to William Henry very soon about dying, and have it top off the kind of information that Rachel DeSalle is giving us about moving through in the Tibetan style. And the other reason I wanted to talk about William Henry, I forgot about that, was that he was talking about how on our planet we're known that there are many, many planets in many, many galaxies out there, and many of them have an equivalent kind of species on them as what we've got here on Earth. And many of them, the people or the species, we'll call them people, on their planet get to a point where they destroy the Earth or they destroy their planet. Boom, like that. And he says it's because they're at the very zero level of consciousness. And where he was claiming that we're looking at that ourselves. But he also said that we've got level one consciousness and level two consciousness just sort of birthing itself amongst our collective, and that we could earn the ability, and the way of chronologing or cataloging it came from the Russians, apparently, where they claim that the kinds of planets that maintain themselves and grow and evolve for a long, 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 long period of time and don't blow themselves up are beings whose consciousness collectively is calling in the higher free energy systems and so on, so that they're not actually destroying their source in order to use the energy that they need to empower their video games or whatever, you know. And he said it's really interesting that you've got these levels of consciousness. And I like to think of being multidimensional. Most of you who've listened to this show know that I'm always visualizing myself as becoming consciously multidimensional. Not just multidimensional because we know we are, but very consciously being able to speak to you from level 3, level 4, level 5, level 6. And he's kind of, he's very astute about that, as is Vladimir Turek, who I interviewed on Paradigm Shifters probably 3-4 weeks ago now. He's a Russian fellow, or he's Czechoslovakian, and he's really big on multidimensionality. And you and I, what I'm talking about in Radiance by Design, is we can choose our ability to move at a higher consciousness level. And I feel like, so I'm jumping around because there's this kind of theme that keeps coming through various conversations I'm having with people these days. And it is possible for you and for me to go inside and research where there is light in there. Things can feel bleak and dark, right? But you can go inside and you can really ask to look for, and blind people see a lot of light inside, and they see colors, apparently, and shapes and the whole thing, as if they, on some level, are fully capable of seeing. And I've heard some stories about some blind people that really are by just knowing, sensing, and feeling, and they know how things look and where to go and all of that. So we know that there's light created inside, something to do with the... I don't think I have the physiology all sorted out, but it has to do with the pineal gland and the pituitary and the hypothalamus and all that. But somewhere deep down, we have light deep within our body-mind. So I'm going to ask each of you, as just a little exercise, to focus inside and ask to see where you keep the light inside of you. As soon as I do that, I get a kind of an interesting buzz in my body. What happens to you? And then when we go back to what the Russians have delineated as the levels of consciousness, levels of evolution, and the ability of beings to sustain themselves and bring through higher energy without killing themselves or blowing up their planet, is people who harvest energy from the universe, from infinite flows, as opposed to pools of dinosaur remains, fracking up the planet and so on. Instead of that, they reach for the light at a higher level, and then they learn to transmute or bring that light through in such a way as to empower themselves, their healing, and all kinds of vehicles. And I don't think I even know what kind of vehicles, but we could imagine it. Anybody who's ever seen science fiction would probably, movies would probably be able to imagine it. So anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle, and I know we have some callers tonight. So let's do a shorter meditation tonight. Let's do some sound. And I want you to really make the sound so that you're rattling those, vibrating those chakras of yours, okay? And then we're going to take some callers. So close your eyes, unless you're walking on the edge of a cliff, riding a unicycle, or heaven forbid, driving a car. And let's call in the light from the universe. Call in the light. Yeah. And when I do that, I hold my palms up to the sky, and I feel that light buzzing into my palms. Do you? Now let's aim the light to the base of your spine. Okay, that's good. And then the base of your spine could be buzzing for those of you that are getting quite used to doing this. And now let's make the sound into the base of your spine. Make the sound red, and the sound is very, very earthy, guttural. We're going to do it three times. It's going to go. One more, and pay attention to where it goes. Good. And did you get it bright, clear, red? Because your body started to buzz, didn't it? Oh, goody. You're going to be on hold right at, and then I'll talk to you right after we finish this sound exercise. Thank you. And now the orange chakra is your belly area. It's everybody else's influence. So we're standing in the back of our own womb saying, who am I in the middle of all this? And the sound is. And it's orange. Vibrate it to orange. Did that shake up your belly a little? Now up into the solar plexus, bright yellow like the sun. The sound is oh. Ready? Oh. Look up my feet. Got my arms, we'll ask you after where it got you, and up into the heart chakra, which is green. The sound is ah, but let's sing it. Throat chakra is blue. It's supposed to be a light eggshell blue. Sometimes mine goes royal blue. I'm not sure what yours will do. And the sound is as in everything. blue at the base of the front of the neck. Good work. Your body should be buzzing like mad. And the next one is the third eye, and it's deep indigo, dark, dark purple. I think of it as navy purple with a lot of light in it. Top of your head is violet, and that's where you bring in gods, guides, angels, and that wonderful light energy that we're calling in from the universe. Run light all around your body. Just see your body just swathed in light. Good. And just see it there. And now you fill yourself with light. And we're going to talk to our caller who's been wonderfully patient. And you're on the air, you little light being. Hello? Are you there? Well, maybe not. Okay, so call in with your questions. Let's talk to you about bringing in light and about doing anything you want to be doing, whether it's about being artistic, whether it's about your taxes, whether it's about your family life and your relationships, or what do you think about what's going on the planet right now? Do you think we're making the shift? How many of you were focusing on this amazing shift that was coming up? Well, according to some, for last December, I never kind of bought that, except that I do feel that the ability to bring in light has increased. Our ability has increased, and that we have access to more light than we ever had before, and we're now able to bring it in consciously and integrate it. And what would be the point of doing that? Well, then we'll be consciously radiant or consciously radiating our dreams, our desires, our evolution, and our healing. You know, if you're radiating at a very conscious level, and it's a really high level, because you can feel that right now. Can you feel that, Bob? We're kind of buzzing, eh? Okay, as you radiate like that, it actually has a healing effect on not only you, but all the people around you and on your household and on your potential. So once again, why do we want to be radiant? Because we want to be able to manifest at a higher level. And I believe this is the shift. And I don't know how long it's going to take for us to make the shift. It might take 30, 40, 50 years, because I think it's the art of not only incorporating higher fields and frequencies, but it's being able to hold them, and not only hold them yourself, but having like a cohesive or a coherent community that's holding them. And that's what a lot of us are trying to do these days. That's why I do this meditation with you every week, so that we will develop a coherent community, which means we're setting up an awful lot of people who are able to hold this kind of light simultaneously. What a difference a day makes, right? So anyway, I really wanted to talk about the light and the fact that when he was talking about the fact that we're at zero level of evolution, right? We're at zero level of evolution. He also said that according to the research that's been done, we have beings who are on the first level and the second level that are trying to perk in our collective. And I really think that's very, very important for us to remember. And what that means to me is you can evolve yourself individually and really create a cohesive or coherent community that is ready to evolve. We can make a huge difference. I call it politics if you want. I love that idea. So call in. Now, I had a whole bunch of people lined up to call in. Where are you? What are you doing? All right, you're going to make me work for a living, aren't you? All right. Here we go. Now what I'm seeing... Oh, goody, you're on the air. Thank you. Saved me, didn't you?
Hello?
Hi.
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 Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this was the second time I called. It just kind of doesn't go through. This is Kathy from Bellingham. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
When you were talking earlier in your opening, you were talking about people who are blind and have a different senses are working in terms of the ability to see and comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I got that right. So related to what you were just talking about, I had an experience where it was 4 a.m. and my cat had been up all night running back and forth, not a usual thing, but meowing at every window and door. So I was kind of awake, and I heard my front door open, and someone walked down the hall, and there was a man standing next to my bed. And then instantly I recognized it was one of my sons, and then it was gone. People think I was asleep. It was a dream. It was, but I think it didn't feel like a dream.
No, I think that was a real visitation. What I want to say is that the higher self or aspects of our self can travel, and you don't have to be on the other side or dead, as we call it, to do that. And it looks like your son came to visit you purposefully. And I think it was to... I just feel it was because he really needed to make a connection. Did you feel that? Did you feel he needed you?
No, there was nothing worrisome or frightening or urgent.
But let me ask you this, Kathy, and for other people. Do you always, to need somebody's presence in your life, it doesn't mean you're having a trauma necessarily, does it?
No, but maybe in his. Not mine.
I feel like he needed to make contact. He just needed to, when our children, even if they don't like us, which is not the case here, but even if they don't like us, they still need to make contact, you know? Kind of grounds them and makes them alive in this planet. First time that happened to me in a really conscious way, it was my ex-husband. He was dying in a hospital. He had a brain hemorrhage. And I was driving home from the hospital, and I couldn't get a sense of whether he was going to live or die. All I heard was he hadn't made up his mind yet. And all of a sudden, he showed up in the car, and I knew that he had not passed. And we ended up having quite an argument where he said, you have to let me do this and that, but I am going to live. And it was like he was right there. He was a little see-through-y, but he was really physical, really physical. Right?
Yeah. I could hear the door open, could hear footsteps coming. It was kind of extraordinary. What is also interesting...
Were you afraid, Kathy?
Well, at first I thought, gee, my door's always locked. initially kind of like, what's going on? But not really terrified.
Okay.
It was just bizarre. But what is also interesting is the cat was so weird. The cat had been weird all night. And when you were going through the sounds of each chakra, the cat was just sitting here on my computer desk. And as soon as you started making the sounds, boy, the cat was, shall we say, activated.
Oh, wow.
And so it's so, you know, like a little medium. He's just picks up all kinds of stuff. So I thought that was kind of interesting because I think animals perhaps in many ways have a different a sense to that we don't have or we're trying to develop. They already have it.
Well, and here's another thing is I believe your son needed to be in touch with you and that there was a some kind of, and this is relating to your cat, his name is Max, right?
Right.
And Max was able to perceive the agitation your son had gearing up to come see you. He could perceive his preparation, if you will. Because there was a reason. There was something missing in your son's comfort zone, and he may not admit that to you because sometimes our children don't. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
That fits. And he loves cats. So that really works.
And so
when the strangers show up?
When?
Because my other son sees people all the time.
But he sees spirits. I mean, he sees a lot of ghosts.
Yeah.
Or I would call them spirits.
Okay, because to the point where he has to tell them to leave. Okay.
Yeah, I have a friend whose daughter is like that, and she actually has them walking through her house all the time, and she kind of directs the traffic so they won't bug her.
Yeah.
Not everybody has to deal with that.
So if we develop more, can we also go and visit other people?
Oh, yeah, you can now. Here's the deal, and this is for everybody at home as well, Kathy, is that when you develop that sense of the light coming through and you develop the sense of your higher self, you can project your higher self to anyone. Remember, we've talked about this, get your higher self to talk to her higher self. When you get really good at that, you can get a person who's sitting 500 miles away drinking tea to suddenly go, oh, Kathy's here. I can really feel her. Yeah? You can do that.
Okay.
Isn't that fun? Should we start doing that, everybody?
Oh, yeah. That.
No, but here's...
As soon as I
say that, I go, we all need to do the double tetrahedrons, you know, or the star tetrahedron and give ourselves a barrier. You see what I mean? So that we can keep our fields clear and we're not just besieged by crowds. Most of us don't like being in crowds anyway, right? So that's something to bear in mind, isn't it?
Well, I'm just thinking like the New Testament, the Old Testament, when these Moses chatting with God, talking to angels, where it's so common in the Bible. And you don't hear about it so much now.
Sure you do. All kinds of people are channeling and talking to all kinds of beings. Then it was a little bit more of a specialized recounting or a specialized chronologing. Right? I'm being cheeky on purpose, hey?
Yeah, but that's very helpful. Well,
thank you for your call, and I'm sorry you had to call in twice. We'll have to talk to Seth and find out why. So
that's okay.
All right.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you. So that's a really interesting one because we've got parts of ourselves that can actually travel. Oh, goody, you're on the air. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Rachel in Santa Cruz.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for calling in. We missed you last week, so I thought we'd call again.
I tried again, but you know what? All your lines were busy for, you know, a while, actually.
Really? And then nobody was on?
Right.
Interesting.
So I don't know what's going on with that, but you had some blockages on your phone.
How annoying.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry for that.
Well, you got through, and I'm glad. So how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really having fun, actually. I do like to do this.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you.
And I had some curiosity. I wanted to ask you if you could check in with my relationship with Europe and France in specific, if you get anything about that for me.
Oh, my goodness. You have had a lot of... Have you lived in France?
I married a French guy, and we spent time there, but not actually living.
Well, it's interesting, because the first time you asked, I see you from ancient times, even as a man, being very French, and living in France, living in kind of an area where there was a stone kind of castle, and I don't think you were royalty, but you were up there in the court, and very serious and quite a meditator, and you brought in, it must have been 200 years ago or so, and you brought in, you know how, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I was going to say, you know how you like the Tibetan stuff? Well, that's kind of childish. Rachel is an amazing teacher of Tibetan arts of spirituality plus Qigong. But in any case, they show you as being a male over there where there's this kind of castle-ish area. You've got quite a reach. You teach people, and there's people who are in, I don't know if they're Tibetan, I don't even know if they traveled in those days, but there's kind of a spiritual teacher kind of presence there that you have a lot to do, to share with the people. It's not a church, but it's some kind of a study learning center. Maybe 200 years ago is too long, because I feel like it's maybe a little closer in time.
But in southern France, that's true. There were a whole group of people who were spiritually sort of connected to Buddhist ideas about spirituality. So that's really correct, I think. And I feel such an affinity for France. So.
Oh, and you loved it. You felt very much in your, what would we call it, in your dharma, and very absolutely dedicated and very still. You know when you're really doing your meditation, you feel very still? I know you teach dancing, and you're not always still, right?
But balanced, you know, balanced. In that stillness, it can be movement, but it's a balanced feeling. So there is a center of stillness, whether you're moving or sitting still.
And I want to say, it's back to drawing the light in. It's like drawing the light through. You know what I mean? It seems like
definitely.
You have a pillar of light running through you in that life. And your eyes were big and kind of inset, as if they were focusing inward more than they were focusing out. You were a very wise, wonderful man, actually. And it's good
Hooray!
That we've been... I don't know if you were rich, Rachel, but you sure look happy.
That is rich.
And it's interesting now, because you have such a an interesting weaving of things that you do. You know, you do your art, you do your dancing, you do your teaching about the Tibetan, the dying process, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Qigong and so on. You have a really wonderful weaving. And they say that this life could be kind of a little bit more, what would you call it, a kind of playful and active, even though you're as deeply committed, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to Tibet?
I have not, but I have been to France. And I was just curious if you see me going back to France, or see it more of a connection of France happening in the future, or
yes, I do. I see that in a little while, it's like you're going to change directions. Have you ever sold any art in France? Because I think that's part of what you're going to be doing.
Well, that would be great. And I've sold art here, but not in France because, you know, I'm not there. but you know, the French relationship to art is so amazing, deep and cultivated, and you know, the whole society supports the arts in such a wonderful way there.
Now, do you have, I know it's wonderful because I see you taking some art over, but it's through a small group of people, as if you have a sister-in-law or brother-in-law.
I do. Okay. I definitely do.
Well, I believe it's through them that you'll be drawn over, and I see you laughing and doing like a little seminar or something and having a wonderful time there.
Great.
And selling some art. And it's probably not this next year. It's probably the year after. I'm not always
that
good at
that. Sounds right. No, that sounds really accurate.
Wow, I'm excited. So you're going to have to phone and keep us posted, but I really appreciate your call, Rachel.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad to hear you doing so well, and I really appreciate your input. It seems really good.
Thanks so much. Many
blessings. Okay,
see
you soon, Veronica.
I hope so. Bye, Rachel.
Bye.
Well, that's a really interesting call because, once again, Kathy's call was sort of multi-aspected, and then Rachel's is too. So, and we'll see who you are. You're on the air. Hello, hello.
This is Diane in Bellingham.
Hi, Diane. How are you in Bellingham?
I'm doing really good.
Good.
I feel like I've cleared like 300 pounds this last month or so.
Oh, my gosh. Does this mean you're going to be flying without wings?
It could be. I've been flying a lot in my dreams lately.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I was going to comment, too, that I recently was laying down meditating. I went into a very deep dreamlike state, and I felt my daughter come in, and it was like she was at my head holding me. It was very real. She wasn't there physically.
Yeah. But she was there vibrationally, right?
Yeah.
But
it was
so what happened?
Holding my head.
Nice.
Nothing really. She was just there holding my head. So we were making some sort of connection.
Did you ask her about it?
You know, crown. No, I didn't. I didn't.
It's really interesting.
But I
you...
kind of...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you say that and she's holding your head, I feel all through the heart or the rib cage, there's a real sense of her presence as well. Do you feel that?
Right now?
You were talking about it, yes.
Oh. Well, I can feel something now that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It just sort of reminds us how connected we are and how our minds can project. You know, our minds and hearts can project ourselves. Because I feel like she does like to support you, and you like to support her. You've got a good relationship, don't you?
Yeah, it's been a little trying this last year or so. But she got angry with me, and I kind of had to tell her, you know, that I had to draw some boundaries with her, let's just say. So I felt like, I guess my feeling about her coming in and holding my head was that at some level she had come to a place of forgiveness or understanding, maybe.
How old is she now?
She just turned 30.
Okay. Somebody said it takes till they're about 40, mothers and daughters. Maybe we'll get some other people calling in about that. But you know what's really interesting, Diane, as you say that, is that we have so many levels in ourselves that we can have animosity on the first level and absolute love.
Right.
And that's wonderful. And the nurturing, I mean, she's really nurturing for you in a certain way, even though you might have to have discordance on a human level, right?
Yeah, I get that. She is a nurturing person. And, you know, normally we've had a good relationship, but
okay.
I kind of wasn't helping her by, she needs to take, you know, more responsibility for her life, and she's really fighting that. Like, in a more metaphysical type of way.
Oh, right. Creating her reality?
Yeah, instead of, you know, she keeps having these traumas and dramas and not taking responsibility for any of them. And she's just really kind of poo-pooed on the whole spiritual perspective of that.
I know, they have to do that
for forgiveness or anything.
Aww.
So, I'm sure she'll come around at some point in time, but right now she's a little off track, maybe.
But it's so, and she might be right on track for her exploration, A and B. Like
right.
I always say, I carry in my pocket this glow-in-the-dark, invisible, hot pink duct tape that I slap on my mouth on a regular basis. Most moms I know appreciate that for themselves, because it's really hard to keep your mouth shut sometimes, at least it is for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And she's, anyway, now that she's moved out again, it's better, because she needs to be out on her own to learn her lessons or whatever. And I need to have my good energy here at home.
I know. That's a really hard part, isn't it?
It is.
But I want to say this. Let me say this about your daughter, Diane, is that she has a really powerful and very sweet light in her, and she's going to get to it by 32, 33. You watch.
Get back to it, you mean? Because she was that.
Yeah, just don't worry about it, because she's just got to act out how... You know, I acted out. Did you?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I know that's what she's doing and everything. As long as I don't talk to her too much, I don't worry about her. But if she's living here, then I start worrying about her, you know?
Yeah.
So when she calls and, you know, she tell me another trauma or something, I just kind of listen. Because she doesn't want to hear what I have to say.
No, for
and,
sure.
And, you know, I just listen and then say, okay, well... Love you. See you later, whatever. There's not much I can do except for listen.
Yeah.
No.
Love is a funny thing, but I just love that when we're looking at her and you, but looking especially at her, I see so many different levels of her. And the hardest ones are the ones that are really in the third dimension, up higher. You and she are very bonded. You know? So thank you for your call, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. Can I ask a little bit about, like, what's going on in my third chakra right now?
You bet. Let's take a look at your third chakra.
I moved a whole lot of energy, but my stomach's kind of been doing this grumbling thing. Like, not grumbling, like, as the sound so much, but it's been doing this. Like, it's getting ready to make a big shift, which I actually had a dream a few years ago that it was going to do.
Oh, really? When did your daughter move out?
Oh, it's been a few months.
It has, eh?
6 or 8 months, I'd say. Yeah.
Well, it's like I would have thought it was more recent. It's almost like someone has been in your energy field and you've released that person. Not very long ago, and you're reformatting self so that the self isn't in, you know how we have so many aspects of ourself that are because of reactions, because of interactions, because of ways we've been with other people? Yeah, there's a part of you that's releasing something like that and reformatting how you are. And so it's good that your stomach is grumbling and it's trying to say, I got to reestablish myself, you know?
Yeah, I think what I'm letting go of is attachments to certain energies, you know, of like I, you know, released an energy of abuse.
Right.
Not that somebody did something to me necessarily, but it was just the whole energy of abuse, whether it was me doing it to me or me doing it to someone else or someone else doing it to me on whatever level. I mean, if
let me throw myself stupid, that's abuse, right? And let me throw back at everybody out there that one of the things that happens then is who you are, who Diane is, or who people at home are, has to be reformatted. So there's a death of self, loss of self. It's not really who we are, because 95% of the job is clearing, as we know, right? So it's just
More like a recognition that that was an energy I had identified with and become attached to, but it
wasn't who
I was.
So you're becoming new levels of the Diane-ness of it all.
Yeah.
Good for you, girl.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been the most powerful month of my life, I think, in some ways.
And I want to say that you're going to have energy to burn in a while.
I do feel more vital now.
Oh, you really
are.
Every
morning when I get up, actually. So.
Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Good work.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Well, much love
to
you. Thank you again.
Get somewhere.
Yeah, you are getting somewhere. You're where?
Yeah. Well, just into the understanding of who I am authentically.
Yes. But remember, honey, it's an infinite process. Who you are deepens into who you are, and then who you are deepens into who you are. You know how it is?
Yeah, it's kind of a paradox.
It's lovely. We should all join Rachel, who does deity dancing, where you put on costumes and you put on the costume of various gods and goddesses and dance to bring the essence of their existence into yours. Anyway, I better go, Diane. Uh-huh. Thank you. There's someone else.
Okay.
Love you. Bye.
Okay. Love you, too. Bye.
Good evening. You're on the air. Hello, hello.
Hi, Veronica. This is David with my wife, Carol, in Kansas.
Oh, hi, Kansas people. I'm so glad you called in, David and Carol.
Well, thank you. The subject I'm interested in is about what I think is integrating soul parts into this reality, into myself in the dream state. Recently, in the middle of the night, I feel the presence of different entities that are energetically similar to me, and I feel like somewhat of emerging in the past I lose the connection in the waking state, but recently I feel like I keep the connection, so it's like part of the dream world stays with me in the waking state. And like, for example, last night I felt that there were four different individuals guiding me to money things in my life that was apparently right in front of me. And I see that reality shifts, like in the past, present, and future. My entire life can shift when soul parts integrate, and I become somewhat conscious of this at night and in the dream state. And this is pretty new to me, so I guess I'd just discuss more of this.
That's wonderful, David, because what I feel like is you're coming to... Now, Diane was saying she's changing her identity because of what she's attached to. You're coming to a new reformatting as well by, like you say, bringing in these different souls. Some of them are not you. Some of them are aspects of other lives that are supporting you, because you've got some really wonderful beings who are trying to help you get empowered or strengthened. Do you see what I mean? But part
yes.
of it is you bringing in parts of you that have been lost along the way or that have been separated along the way. And you also have some nursemaids. Kind of a cute way of putting it. And you're doing a great job with it, because you're paying. One of the things we have to do if we want to take advantage of this stuff and be more multidimensional is use the information that comes. And if it's weighing you down, get rid of it. If it's lifting you and supporting you, use it. And in your case, I feel like you're using it. It's giving you new perspectives, isn't it?
Well, it's new to me consciously. It's interesting.
Well, I would jot a few notes down, even if you can't write the whole thing, because you're going to find within a few months, few weeks actually, but few weeks and few months, you're going to find that you integrate at a new level and you have a much deeper understanding of yourself and your soul purpose. And it's going to make you feel better in life than you've ever felt, you know? So
oh, great,
I think you're
yes.
on a it's a rapid change time. I think we might have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay, I just what I was seeing that there can be a rapid or significant shifts in reality that are possible, which I didn't never really considered that before.
Isn't that exciting? Do you love it?
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I would. Yes, I'm anxious about it. Yes.
And I think that you're coming to a really a new opening and a new awakening for yourself. And this is all; these are all the building blocks for it. It's very exciting. You're in a very wonderful change time.
Oh, that's great.
Now, remember this, David. Go ahead.
Do you have any words for my wife? She's here.
I sure do. Hi, Carol. How are you?
I've been angry for the last couple of days. I don't know what's going on.
You're not angry at me, are you?
We was without power for a whole day, and I had no distractions, nothing, and so I just had to lay here and, you know, I guess try to stay in touch with my pain, but for some reason it just really invoked a lot of anger in me.
Is the power on now? Is it on again?
Yes, it's on now. Yeah, it's been on all day today.
Gosh, I haven't talked to you for so long, and I'm looking at the back of your neck, which looks like it's really sore, is it?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
It's like we're going through... Okay. Well, you know, what we need to do is work again. It's been a month, you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it has been a long time. Yep.
Okay, so this is for everybody at home. Everyone, focus on the base of your spine. We're going to see if we can all send some energy through ourselves up through the spine, because Carol, for starters, needs some relief. There you go. You need some relief. Needs some relief. And I still see the attachment to that lifetime, well, two lifetimes that we've talked about before. So we're asking for relief, and it's mostly attached around the back of your spine where it's behind the heart, solar plexus in the heart, and we're running energy up through there. And your arms hurt, do they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been unwinding like crazy.
Oh, good. And what does that mean to you? Tell people at home.
It's just you know, my body just goes into all these gyrations, you know, and my legs start kicking and my whole arms will start moving around and, you know, just all kinds of different, it's like it's trying to straighten itself out or trying to...
Have you ever had anybody do the unwinding business on you?
Pardon?
Have you ever had a body worker do unwinding on you?
Yeah, when all this first started, I did have myofascial done, but she was pretty rough. She was almost it was too much for me. She's quite rough.
Well, you know something, and we have to go, as you know, but I want to say this, that there's a new thing called Choose. A friend of mine is into multi-level marketing, which I'm not. I want that to be clear. But she said there's a new product coming out today, in fact, and people chew it, and it's for people who have chronic pain. So I'm going to get some, and we're going to get some to you, Carol, and see what happens.
Wonderful. That would be great.
Yes, and more about that. I'm very glad to hear your voice, and I need to get off the air because I'm late.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Many blessings. Many blessings, everyone. All right. Thank you all for your calls. I'm so delighted. It's so nice to talk to you this way. This is Veronica Entwistle. Check my website, veronicaentwistle.com, and you can send, it's got an Ask Veronica button. You can send me feedback, commentaries, and so on. I think Paradigm Shifters, I said it before, but I just got home yesterday. Paradigm Shifters is featuring either William Henry, or Vladimir Turek, or let me see, I have a list of four. I'm not really sure who's coming up on Tuesday night, but you'll know about it. Sign up for my newsletter, and as soon as I get the person nailed, I'll send out a newsletter telling you who it's going to be. And we're podcasting the very next day, so you get to bring it into your own little iPod. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, thank you so much for tuning into Radiance by Design. Remember, perk your own radiance. Free energy from the universe is being downloaded to you. Much love, good night, and many, many blessings.